Welcome to the Double R Show, the podcast that features everything about North Lincoln County. The Double R Show, directed and produced by Paul Robertson and hosted by the voice of Lincoln City, Roger Robertson.
Our first guest, as we join you again on this podcast, is Casey Miller. Casey has been with the Lincoln County departments for a long time, but now is county commissioner.
It's true, yes. About 7 months into the job so far. So
you like it?
I do. Honestly, in the beginning, it's taken a while to kind of get to maybe cruising speed or cruise control, if you will, but I am starting to enjoy it.
But you didn't come in not knowing where the bathroom key was, because yes. You've done a lot with the county.
Yeah, 14 years as the public information officer, working right inside the commissioner's office. So yes, I did know what I was getting into, perhaps more than most, but it's an interesting adventure into public service, and still a lot to learn and a lot that I didn't realize. And it's been fun, exciting, but also challenging and sometimes intimidating, frankly.
Once you have the budget in line, you're pretty well set the course for the year.
Well, I think that's true. We really do have to look ahead at how we budget by law. You know, budget adjustments can be made, but true, you really do need to have more foresight, arguably, than other businesses to know where you're going in county budgeting.
Big budget. How much money are we talking about, Casey?
We're talking a little over $150 million.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Most of that money comes from property taxes?
It does indeed. And, a big infusion of, we're seeing things like ARPA funds that have pushed those numbers up, Infrastructure Investment Justice Act, for example. So when we do see a budget like this, I don't think we're going to, I would presume, maintain that because of that federal infusion at this time. That may go away. So, something to be mindful of when you do look at those big numbers, that could come down depending on the federal landscape, for example.
County Fair is over and said and done for another year, but you did a dedication on a new building.
Yeah, 4-H building, really a renovation, but I think they just took it literally down to the studs. So I think you could say it's pretty close to being new, but not completely from the ground up.
When you think of Lincoln County, agriculture doesn't seem to be the fitting piece, but it still is.
Yeah, there is definitely a component of ag, and there's a nexus with the fair traditionally with 4-H, for example. But one of the questions I did have for our extension office was, well, what about things like the robotics and other disciplines that reflect the community? So what I hope to see in the future is, more diversification of the different types of disciplines and activities that are in the county.
Lincoln County Commissioner Casey Miller is our guest on this podcast. And as we look at the budgets that we're talking about, I would have to think the lion's share of that money, Sheriff's Department?
Well, yeah, Sheriff is definitely big, and Health and Human Services.
Okay, sure.
Big, big chunk of it. Yeah, absolutely. Those are, your biggest players, if you will, when you look at that budget breakdown.
The facility, the building itself, it's been standing in Newport for a lot of years. What kind of shape is it in?
I think that is something, when we are looking at capital improvements, that's really risen to the top of our awareness. I can't tell you how many years. I want to say 1948. I'm not sure if that's right. But really, not a seismically modern building. And when we think Cascadia,
gotta make it makes you nervous when you go to work.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to think so. Yeah. And I would think that the rest of the commissioners probably are of a same mindset.
Well, I think so. I mean, we've just seen some recent discussions around that recently at a Board of Commissioners meeting that we need to put this with more immediacy in the radar.
Talking about Board of Commissioners, there's three that sit on Katie's there, Claire Hall is there.
Yeah.
Tell me about the way the organizational structure goes. What happens in a regular meeting?
Well, they say if you've seen one county, you've seen one county. I think that's a good point to be made when you look at that governance model. So now there's been recent changes because we have an administrator now. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. what that means is department heads now report to the administrator. The administrator reports to the commissioners. But just as recent as 2 years ago, department heads, for example, reported directly to commissioners, and the commissioners split the departments across the three commissioners. So we're really evolving into this new model, which is new for us. But that means we don't have direct supervisor authority over our department heads. Now they report to the administrator. So it's something new and different. And, you know, I think we're trying to get to a cruise control as well on that process.
Does the general public have as much access to county as they used to with the new format?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I don't think it's changed anything fundamentally in terms of how the community engages with the county. So that is essentially unchanged. And, you know, with things like our new website, for example, I think there's some hopefully better ways to reach into our organization. So yeah, I don't think that's changed a whole lot. There's still the opportunity. Question is, you know, how often does the community engage with us? We want to make it as easy as possible, but, you know, community engagement is something I think I'm always advocating that we have the community take the time when they have it to, you know, give us their input.
And give you the input, good, bad, and indifferent.
Oh, well, it's range, right?
Correct.
Yes, it's correct. Range. I was thinking about what is, you know, a couple of features, if you will, that makes being a commissioner difficult, makes this model difficult. Well, for one thing, we've got a wide service profile from health services to elections to roads. And then, you know, also it's, how do I describe it? It's such a wide range of demographic interests, you know, from the age of 18 to, you know, 100-year-old senior.
Right.
That's a big range of interests in the community that county government needs to make equitably. And, you know, it is. It's hard to hold all those viewpoints, all those different possibilities in balance.
And if somebody wants to contact the county commission, you do that how?
Well, one of the first things you would do is you could go to our website, for example. You could email the commission. And another way is just to call the office, the county commissioner's office. And I'll tell you something that I get a tremendous amount of joy in is when someone says, I'm talking to a human being. I can't believe it. And I said, yep, it's true. You're talking to a commissioner right now. It brings me a lot of joy. And it's something I think in our age of automation, people don't get enough of.
Casey Miller, County Commissioner, Lincoln County. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here.
Pleasure. Thank you.
We'll continue right after this.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your insurance needs handled by one agency? This is Charlotte Lado with Farmers Insurance and the Insurance Store. Visit our office next to the Wildflower Grill in Lincoln City. Let us be your one stop for your personal, commercial, health, and Medicare insurance needs.
I'm Adina Zeller. Zeller's is now in two North Lincoln County locations, the original Zeller's in Rose Lodge and now Zeller's in Lincoln City, formerly Maxwell's. Zeller's with great family food and kick and fun like our line dancing. Just wait until you try our homemade clam chowder.
If you're looking for great early garden fresh produce, it's Kenny's IGA in the Bay Area of Lincoln City. Four generations of Morgans caring for your every grocery need. All of your favorite beverages, a full deli, meat, produce, and of course, groceries.
I'm Bruce Polvey, reminding you to be prepared. We have a variety of life-saving go kits in stock at Lincoln City Sporting Goods, your electronic superstore in the heart of Lincoln City.
Jeannie Sprague, Lincoln City Parks and Rec Director, you have a magical job.
It is quite magical. You're right about that. Fun 100% of the time, Roger.
Because everything that you touch is for good times.
It is for good times. That's a nice way to look at it. Yeah, everything we touch turns to green.
In a variety of different places.
Exactly.
How many acres of parks does Lincoln City have?
We have over 450 acres of parks, including our open spaces.
For a city this size, that's a lot of parks and rec.
It is amazing. Per capita, we have the most open space on the whole Oregon coast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's because this community loves green spaces, and they voted a long time ago to secure these important and beautiful environments and keep them safe for generations to come. It's the community that's here that wants it. It's fantastic.
It really does attract people to come because of the parks too, right?
Oh my goodness, yes. If you ever go up to the Knoll any day of the week, I'm not just talking weekends, you will see hundreds of cars lined up on the side of the road with hikers heading up the Knoll. We have 7 open spaces, trails at each of them ranging from a third mile up to 3 miles. They're all utilized by our residents and visitors. It's just beautiful places. People come here for the beach, but they stay to go hike in our open spaces and visit our parks like Regatta Park, too.
You're really proud of this, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I was great. I myself came as a visitor for many years to Lincoln City. In fact, before I even got the job, I was here 3 months prior on vacation for a week. So
what attracted you to the position of director of Lincoln City Parks and Rec?
Well, it was a fantastic city, number one. Then the amount of support that the community had in building the 2016 Parks Master Plan, that just set the department up for success. It laid out what we wanted in the next 20 years in Lincoln City, and that's both what we have at the community center and pool, what we have at our beach accesses, our parks, our open spaces. And one of the things I really liked about this department is it's not a typical Parks and Recreation department. We do so much more than so many other Parks and Rec departments. For example, we oversee beach accesses. We do guided interpretive hikes in our open spaces. Our recreation programs do not exist just within the walls of the community center. We go out to all of our parks and do special events with our partners. We can't do it on our own. It's just a very community-minded city, and that's why our department does so well here.
Speaking of community-minded, you also have a board that you work with, right?
Yes, the Lincoln City Parks and Recreation Board. They are fantastic. We have 7 members from all different backgrounds. Just had a board meeting yesterday to talk about the new park. Very active group. They come to a lot of our special events and really promote and support our community and parks and recreation.
You're into a new budget cycle. What kind of money are we talking about for Parks and Rec in Lincoln City?
Billions and billions, Roger. Just kidding.
Not enough billions, right?
Yeah, right. Maybe if I win that lottery that's out there right now. We have a very solid budget, and each year we get more and more capital projects that we get to accomplish. And what capital means is it's a construction project that either improves or builds a new park amenity. So that could be anything from a playground to just building a public space. So things that we're going to be working on this upcoming year is the Sandcastle Playground at Regatta Park, which is our most beloved playground in all of Lincoln City. That was a community-built playground over 30 years ago. And so we're going to be working on that. We're also working on repairing and or replacing our public restrooms because those are highly utilized by our visitors and residents. We're looking at, of course, the new park. Lots coming up about the new park. And then we also do renovations to the community center. So last year we put a new roof on, we painted the outside, got lots of great feedback on that one. And now we're gonna be working on the inside a little bit more, you know, sprucing it up and also making sure that it lasts for years to come.
Speaking of that building, the swimming pool, the community center, all of those kind of good things, 24/7 it seems to run, but it isn't 24/7.
It does seem to run 24/7. And what's so exciting is we just had our anniversary. That community center was built July 17th, 1980. And it has been going strong since then. We continue to add programming, and you know the pool was added on after about 20 years, so it's just a highly utilized space. We try to keep it packed. We work with neighboring nonprofits to keep activities going, like our senior center, Meals on Wheels, the youth baseball league, the swim club, but we also run a lot of programs ourselves within the department.
For instance, those programs would be what?
They would be anything from a basketball league to swim lessons to pickleball classes. After school, we're very supportive of our community in providing childcare. And our childcare is called Rec Kids, which stands for Recreation, Education, and Community. We're not just about running kids in laps around the track. We also want to do homework assistance with them and art and crafts and exercise, all that good stuff.
It amazes me the number of people that get into the pool for exercise of all ages.
Yes, all ages. The pool is our draw at the community center. A fun fact is whenever local hotels, their pools go down, they immediately contact us and send all their hotel patrons over to us, and we love it. But yeah, we've got a hot tub, then we have a heated small pool area, and then a large lap swim with slides, rope swings. It's just a real hit with the public.
I think what really points out to how important that swimming pool is with the high school, the number of students that have gone on to do other great things because they started with that swim program.
I totally agree, Roger. We have such a good relationship with the Lincoln County School District and are happy that we are able to provide the public pool for their Taft High School swim team. And then even when their season ends, we have a year-round swim club. And both of those two programs actually help us get lifeguards. It's how we staff the pool. So thank goodness for that.
I have climbed that wall.
The rock climbing wall? Yes, Roger. I'm glad to hear that. Me too.
I think you're probably shocked to hear that.
Never shocked with you, Roger. Never.
A lot of people have used the workout room.
Yes, definitely the workout room. We have a cardio room and then a weight room and the rock wall, which you're talking about, and then a gymnasium right outside of it. And what I really love about many of our patrons that come in the center is they'll go do some cardio, go shoot some hoops, lift some weights, and then hit the pool. Like, I'm always amazed and that they get so much in to their drop-in at the community center.
Need-wise, we've got 20 seconds left. What's the biggest need facing the Lincoln City Parks and Rec right now?
That we have a lot of deferred maintenance that we need to tackle, both in our parks and our community center, and we are. So the good news is there's a need to make sure that we continue to repair, renovate, and keep park projects running, but we're doing it.
Jeannie Sprague, I'm Double R on the Double R Show. We'll be back in just a moment. The Beach Club lives again. With us right now is Carolyn Allen. Carolyn is the manager of the Beach Club and Event Center. A transformation of the old Elks Lodge. This is really coming back to life.
Yes, it is. And it is going to be even better than before.
You've got a lot of things that you're planning. We'll talk about that down the road in days to come. But right now you've got special events forthcoming as well, right?
We do have special events coming up. We have a special tropical teaser burlesque show that's coming up on August 12th at 7 p.m. And you can get your tickets at Eventbrite.
Sounds like a good time.
It is. It's supposed to be very good. And we heard that it's a little bit risque and they've actually had to tone it down just a little bit, because they've never been in Lincoln City before and they're not sure of the crowd.
So, and again, those tickets are on sale as we speak.
Yes, they are. So we have VIP tickets and then we have the regular audience tickets.
Now, you have a lot of organizations that meet here. Kiwanis meets here every Thursday.
That is correct. And I believe you join us every Thursday.
Some of the other uses of that main ballroom out there include what?
We do blood drives, we have paint and sip, we do graduation parties, we do weddings. We've done a gala fashion show that is going to be an annual, so we will be doing that again next year, and we're looking forward to that. We do end-of-life celebrations. We are looking to do more bands. We have a beer fest coming up in October, and we have a Christmas bazaar, and I think we're going to have a few more other things, too.
You must meet yourself coming and going.
Yes, I do, yes.
And, of course, the dining room is open.
Yes, and we're revamping the dining room to make it a little bit more family-friendly. We really would like you to bring the kids in. And when the event center is not being used, we are setting up cornhole, and we have got some hula hoops for the kids, and we might add a few more things, too.
That does make a family affair.
It does. And we also have redone our back outside event space where people can go out there and sit and have a drink with the fire pits.
Speaking of coming and having a drink, you do offer some on-tap beers as well.
We do, and we have some great ones, and then we're also doing cocktail and mocktails. A lot of our cocktails now can be made into mocktails, and it's served in the same glass, and it looks really pretty, and everybody seems to be enjoying that.
It is the Event Center. It is the Beach Club and Sports Bar Event Center here in Lincoln City. formerly the Elks Lodge, come see Carolyn and company at the Beach Club in Lincoln City. We have two ladies from the Lincoln City Department heads here with us, Anne Marie Skinner, who is the planning director for the City of Lincoln City, and Allison Robertson, who is the urban renewal director, and I have to throw in my daughter-in-law, right?
I suppose you should throw that in somewhere.
Yeah, gotta be in there someplace. What we want to talk about is housing. Housing right now is in a boom in Lincoln City, Anne Marie?
Well, yeah, I would say so. Yeah, we have a lot of housing projects going on. Yay!
Any idea of the volume of dollars that we have being invested right now?
Oh, in the millions. Yeah. I wish I had known you were going to ask me that question ahead of time, because I added up the value for Jeremy Ruark. He asked me this same question and I emailed it to me. It was about a month ago, though. It was the value of the 107-unit affordable housing and the Wacoma Place 44-unit affordable housing. Seems like it was $250 million, something like that.
Phenomenal for a community like this, all of a sudden see that happening.
Yes, very much so. Very exciting.
Is it eliminating the need for additional housing?
No, not by any means. We still need, I would say, and Allison, you'll probably agree with me, but I would say we still need more affordable housing. We still need more market rate housing, both apartments and houses.
Allison, give me a notion of what affordable housing means to you.
That's a really good question and a complicated one that Anne Marie and I have spent years having conversation about. There are lots of ways to define affordable housing. My definition is that we need affordable housing no matter what your income range is. Whether you are retired and on fixed income and maybe work part-time, or if you are a doctor who shows up here for 6 months or longer, hopefully we get all the medical professionals that we need in town who live here permanently, that there should be housing available for all people at all income ranges, whether they choose to rent or to own. And that doesn't mean that it has to be an apartment or a condo, and it doesn't mean it has to be a single family home, but having the right variety of the type of housing and the right variety in whether it's income qualified rental or homeownership at an affordable mortgage level, those are really like, that's the utopia of the housing market in one community. So that people, if they want to live and work in the same community, that they have a housing option, which has been so tough across the country.
It has been critical here in Lincoln City.
Yes. I mean, we are a tourism-based economy. In general, service industry jobs are mostly part-time and mostly lower wage, and we have a huge percentage of our workforce that needs to have housing options that make this community run and are a part of making the economy function. So Anne Marie and I take that very seriously, that we are always keeping an eye on how to remove barriers, more so for her than for myself, but how to remove barriers for developers. That could be a nonprofit developer, it could be a for-profit developer. Again, it could be apartments, could be houses. And most of the housing that's been provided over the last several years has been done by the private sector. These are our local builders and contractors that we desperately need to stay involved and keep building housing.
Where does urban renewal fit into this overall project?
That's a great question. Not so much anymore. Urban renewal is, you know, a separate funding mechanism, and the urban renewal area that we had for 32 years is gone. I can tell you that before it sunsetted, which was in 2021, we were able to use some urban renewal money to buy a property on Highway 101 that combined with the city property meant that we could get 20 more income-qualified apartment units. So the apartment project that's at Northeast 25th Street, that is across from the new location of Grocery Outlet and by the North Lincoln Fire Hall, That apartment project that's going on now was able to get to 107 units because it was city property and urban renewal property that came together to make about 4.5 acres of land available for that nonprofit to build.
So now, as those projects are underway, Anne-Marie, what is your role in following up or keeping track of?
That's a very good question. So in my role, I'm kind of there from beginning to end, because the beginning part of it, I like to think, is making sure that the code is going to allow the use to come forward. So making sure that different types of housing are allowed in all zones, and that there aren't major restrictions to that, as in too restrictive requirements for common area or parking or design standards. So from the beginning, I work to get our codes shaped up so that we can get this much needed housing in. And then I do the development review when they submit their application for development review. I review that. Once that's viewed and approved, then they submit their building permit application, and I review that. And I'm over the building division, so I make sure that Public Works, Fire, Building all work together to get that permit reviewed and issued in a timely fashion. And then I just kind of oversee things from there. They call in their inspections. We make sure that that process is following through smoothly. And then to the very end, once all the final inspections are done, then our building official will issue the certificate of occupancy.
It's a lot of follow-up, follow-up, follow-up.
Yes, lots of follow-up. And I'm having this issue. Can you help? Well, I can't help specifically, but I know the person who can help specifically. So I do a lot of that at this stage.
Any further projects forthcoming, Allison, that you can divulge, or you probably got to keep that pretty close to the chest?
Well, we're always working on things. I don't have anything right now that I can speak of, except that we are continuing to work on finding opportunities for housing. And Anne-Marie left out that she brainstorms with me all the time. We continue to kind of keep an eye on how many units do we have each year? Are we staying on track with our housing needs assessment, with our goals? And then really, what isn't the market providing? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to problem solve to make sure that wherever that gap in housing is happening, that we're able to try to create an incentive or find land or find a developer or something to try to get more diversity in the housing stock.
Allison Robertson and Anne-Marie Skinner joining us here on the podcast. I'm Double R, back in a moment.
Northwest Septic Service is your one-stop shop for all your septic needs.
Northwest Septic Service offers pumping, maintenance, repair, and inspections with one call, 541-994-6977.
Buying or selling a home? Northwest Septic Service can inspect your sewer line or an entire septic system.
Old or failing septic system? Northwest Septic Service can rejuvenate most drain fields, saving you thousands of dollars. 541-994-6977.
Serving Lincoln, Tillamook, and Yamhill counties, Northwest Septic Service.
Well, as we leave you, or before we leave you, I'd like to remind everybody that the city needs you. The bottom line is, the city has lots of opportunities for people to volunteer for following committees: Planning Commission, Library Board, Arts Committee, Budget Committee, Parks and Rec, Sustainability Committee, and the Del Scott URA and Ad Hoc Committee as well. For more information, contact the City Recorder's Office at City Hall. Sign up. The city needs your help. You need to help the city. Lincoln City Council will also be holding a public hearing to consider an ordinance for the adoption of the proposed Nell Scott Urban Renewal Plan. This is going to be at City Hall on Monday, August the 14th, 6 p.m. If an ordinance is not adopted on the 14th, a second hearing will be held on the 28th. One of the big events for the entire county is the powwow at Sillette's, August 10, 11, 12, and 13. Lineup of activities include on the 10th, the royalty pageant at 6 o'clock at night. On the 11th, an interesting event. It's the memorial giveaway. If you're not familiar with this, you need to attend and just witness what takes place at that special event, 6 o'clock at the powwow grounds. Grand entry that night at 7 o'clock. On the 12th, we have the parade at 10 o'clock. That's downtown Sillette's, ending up at the Powwow Grounds. Grand entry 1 and 7. And on the 13th of August, it's grand entry at high noon. Theater West Popcorn Falls, a delightful comedy, fun comedy, running through the month of August into September. Tickets are now on sale. To reserve your seat, call 994-5663. Speaking of entertainment, the Sillette's Bay Music Festival opens on Friday, August the 25th. It continues for a period of time all the way to September 3rd. They have a complete schedule of events. Tickets at sillettesbaymusic.org. That will do to the doings on this special day, this day that we all gather to find out what is happening in and around the Lincoln City community. We invite you to come back with us again next week as we'll continue with our podcasts. With Paul, I'm Double R. Have yourself a happy day.
You've been listening to The Double R Show. Join Roger and Paul Robertson as they explore everything about North Lincoln County. The Double R Show, produced by Always Productions and hosted by Roger Robertson. Have a story? Email contact@alwaysproductions.com or call 458-201-3039. For The Double R Show, I'm Jana Grahn.